In the name of Jesus, I come into your presence right now, Father. I just ask you to have your way here today, Father, and just move and flow and just minister to people's hearts here today, Father, as you would have it be. And Father, we just give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for everything that you accomplish here. And Father, we just are most careful to give you that praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I guess if you want to put a title on my sermon today, I'm going to call it Independence. And, you know, we just celebrated the 4th of July, which we celebrate as Independence Day. But, you know, one time I was looking at that a little bit, and that really wasn't the day that the Declaration of Independence was signed. It was signed on a different day. But they chose that day to do it, to celebrate it. And if I'm going to read to you out of James, the book of James. And this is out of the Phillips New Testament. And, you know, I'm going to tell you that, well, before I get into this, I'm going to tell you that we just came back from Tennessee. Margaret's, my cousin too by marriage, Margaret's cousin's wife died, and she really is our cousin too, and her name was Betsy. And Betsy was just a tremendous witness for the Lord. In all the years that I've known her, I don't think I ever knew anybody that had a greater witness for God. Because you never saw her without the joy of the Lord on her, without a big smile, without her joking or clowning around. She had cancer. And 10 years ago, or 11 years ago, when she first found out she had cancer, we happened to be down at Tennessee. And she came over to Margaret's sister's house. And, you know, she was telling us that she had just been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And, you know, we had prayer with her, and, you know, I prayed for her, and, you know, I felt a tremendous anointing as I prayed for her. And, you know, even then she was very joyous, and I mean, you just wouldn't believe, unless you knew Betsy, you just wouldn't believe it. I mean, we went down there last year to a 10-year anniversary of her being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And people don't live 10 years when they have stage 4 cancer. They just don't. I mean, usually they live a short span of time, and before you know it, they're gone. But she lived 11 years. And Betsy just had a tremendous testimony. She had the joy of the Lord. When we went down there last year, she was taking her wig off and putting it on the kids and goofing around. And, I mean, she just was hilarious, you know. And she come over to me and she told me, she says, Oscar, I just want to tell you. She called me Junior because family members tend to call me that. She said, Junior, I just want to tell you. She said, that prayer that you prayed for me 10 years ago, she said, I felt the presence of the Lord so strong in that prayer. And I thought, well, praise God. But I'm going to tell you that when we did her memorial service, some of the ladies that she worked with, she would meet them like for coffee clutches. And you should have heard the testimonies from those women about Betsy laughing and joking and making them feel better and sharing scriptures with them and praying with them and all this and that. And she said toward the end it kind of slacked off where they didn't have as many of them, you know, because I guess she was getting sicker and sicker all the time. And I want you to know that she passed away, but she didn't die of cancer. And, I mean, that's pretty amazing in itself. She had had a heart attack, and she went in the hospital, and when she had the heart attack, she started getting pneumonia. And she didn't want them putting respirators or anything on her. She wanted them to just leave her alone. And she passed away. And anyway, you know, I had the privilege of doing part of her service down there. And I was telling some of the people this morning, I said, I probably would have spoke a little bit more than what I did. I shared some different scriptures. And the one of the scriptures the Lord had me share was in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And I said, if you knew Betsy, you just wondered how in the world could she be more joyous than she was. But I'm going to tell you what, she is and was more joyous. And I told people, I said, I could just see Betsy in the spirit being one of the ones that welcomed you, because she was just one of those kind of people. And, when you went to the other side, just, praising the Lord and carrying on, because she was just a joy to be around. And, so many times we wonder why things happen to our loved ones and different people, and we wonder why in the world does something like, those kind of things happen. And yet God was just magnified and glorified through her attitude and her persona during this whole trial. And like I say, when those ladies got up and started talking, they said, you know what? They said, I don't know anybody that's ever survived stage 4 cancer for 11 years. And I don't either. I've never heard of anybody surviving stage 4 cancer for 11 years. And you know what? I think it was because the Lord wasn't done with Betsy, because she was such a joy to be around and had such a tremendous testimony for the Lord. And then I want to tell you that also I got to meet with another one of Margaret's cousins at the memorial service, and her name is Regina. And I shared a sermon concerning Regina a few years back. And Regina is a Christian and she loves the Lord. And she happened to go swimming in some kind of a swimming pool, I think it was. And she contacted that flesh-eating disease. And it started eating her leg, going up her leg really bad. And it makes me cry to think about it. But this is years ago. But they had to amputate her leg. And they amputated it pretty far up on her leg, And I saw her, and I hadn't seen her for years. I think I'd met her once before. And, I had shared her testimony. And right after she got her leg amputated, when she got out of the hospital, she had visitations, she felt like, from angels in the hospital. And right after she got out of the hospital, she had went to Walmart's and was testifying to people about the goodness of the Lord and all that kind of stuff. And, what that made me think of is how ashamed sometimes I am if I get a little ache and a pain, or if I feel a little bit bad and I start complaining. When I had, two examples of people who loved the Lord and they had every right to be complaining, but never heard them complain. And when I was sitting there talking to her, I told Regina, I said, Regina, I said, I shared your testimony. And I said, we even put it on the radio. And she said, would I send her a copy of it? And I'm going to try to find it and see if I can send her a copy of it. But, she told me, she says, I was at Walmart. She must go to Walmart's a lot. She said, I was at Walmart's the other day and said, this woman came up to me and says, can I ask you something? And she says, yeah. She says, what happened to your leg? Because, she's got a prosthetic leg, but it's not one that looks like a leg, And she walks and stuff, but she has pain and stuff. She doesn't always feel the greatest in the world. But yet she said, that woman asked her, said, can I ask you what happened? And she told her. And that woman told her, says, you know what? She says, that makes me ashamed of myself because I grumble and complain about having aches and pains and little problems. And she says, here you are, you lost your leg, and said, and you still love the Lord. And, and basically she was just telling me what the woman said to her. And I just want to tell you, sometimes we need to understand that the things that happen to us, God will get glory out of those things. Now, he doesn't cause those things to happen to you so that he can get glory. But in the midst of all of it, if you'll just keep your eyes focused on him, it will turn it, what seems to be a super negative thing will turn into something very positive. And God can get glory out of that. In James chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and this is out of the Phillips translation of the Bible, It says, James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, sending greetings to the 12 dispersed tribes. Verse 2. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resist them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until the endurance is fully developed, and you will find that you have become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. There's a right sort of independence, and there's a wrong sort of independence. Now, we just celebrated Independence Day, but I want to tell you that real independence is relying on God in all situations and all circumstances and giving Him praise and glory in whatever situation or circumstance you find yourself in. A lot of times these things that we have to go through, you know, Scripture says, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Not to us, but in us. And that glory is His presence becoming stronger and His character and His nature being developed in you to the point that when people see you, they begin to see Him. And I got news for you. I got to see two examples of that over the years between those two ladies. And I'm going to tell you, I never saw Betsy ever heard of her really being down and really being grumbling or complaining about feeling bad or being sick. And I know she was for 11 years. And, you know, it reminded me of the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, which she come following after Jesus. And she said to herself, I know that if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be made whole. And I'm going to tell you what, whether He makes you whole on this side of the veil or He allows you to go through something and makes you whole on the other side of the veil, it doesn't make any difference, but a lot depends on how we react and what we do. And I'm going to read that to you out of the King James, starting with verse 19. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And you know, that gets quoted a lot because that's a great scripture. And swift to hear means, God, let me hear Your voice. Every day when we get up and we pray, we should say, Lord, let me hear Your voice today. What would You say to me today? And we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak. You know, a lot of times when we get in trouble is when we run our mouth a little too quick and we end up sticking our foot with shoe in mouth a lot of times, and that don't taste too good. And we need to learn to say, Lord, let me be slow to speak. Only speak what You would have me speak, or even go within and say, Lord, what would You have me say in this situation or this circumstance? And then most of all, slow to wrath. You know, the wrath of God is not a horrible thing. I'm going to tell you, it's a positive thing because it's to bring correction, it's to bring love, it's to bring the right sort of attitudes and the right sort of motivations. A lot of people, to hear some people when they preach, you'd think the wrath of God is to totally destroy mankind and totally destroy everything and throw them in hell and burn them up forever. Well, I got news for you. That's not what God's all about. He's about bringing restoration and bringing, restoring people, you know. But anyway, and it says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Therefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. We need to ask the Lord every day, Lord, engraft Your word into me. You know, when you engraft something into something, it becomes part of it. It becomes part of it. You know, Mark one time sliced off a chunk off of his knuckle, and they grafted some skin onto his knuckle because it was such a bad cut. And he's got a funny looking color on his knuckle. It looks different than his other knuckles, that one knuckle. But they had to put a skin graft on him. But I tell you what, that skin graft kept him from possibly getting some kind of bad infection or maybe even losing a finger, you know. But when something is engrafted into you, it becomes you after a while. And you know, the thing about it is as we hide the Lord's word in our heart each day, then we begin to become that word, you know. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And that word for doer there is a word that it was translated in the book of Acts as the word poet. And what it literally means is it means to be harmonious. It means to flow. To be a doer of the word is to be harmonious with what God speaks to you. If we're swift to hear and slow to speak, then when he speaks to us, and he can speak to you through any situation or any circumstance, be swift to hear and tell him, Lord, what would you have me do? And sometimes when he speaks to you, he don't want you to do anything right then. He's just speaking to you a word that in the future he's going to use somewhere. And we need to ask him, Lord, what would you have me do? And if he says nothing, then don't do nothing. If you feel like he tells you to go and witness to somebody or to pray for somebody or whatever he tells you to do, go and do just that. And it says, but be ye hearers of the word and not be ye a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he behold himself and he goes away straight away and forgets what manner of man he was. But I like this, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer of the, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And I like that, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty. You know, one time, and I've shared this before, but one time years ago, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is the perfect law of liberty? And I felt like he said, submission. And I thought, well, Lord, in the natural, that's not liberty. Liberty in the natural is doing my own thing and going my own way and doing anything I want to do. That's liberty to me. And he said, my ways are not your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far my ways are above your ways. You want true liberty in me, submit. And when you submit, I'll give you authority. I'll give you my power. I'll allow you to do things that you cannot do on your own. And I'm going to tell you what, let's enter into the perfect law of liberty, that we might be doers of the work and that we might be blessed in our deeds. You know, God's called everyone in here. He's got works that he preordained before the foundation of the world for you to accomplish. Everyone in here. And you know, what you need to do is ask him on a daily basis, Lord, what would you have me do today? And then be obedient and do it. If any among you, a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Ask the Lord to help you control what you say. You know, your words are powerful. Your words are tremendously powerful. And we just don't realize sometimes when you say a negative thing to somebody, it doesn't go away. It goes and it stays there. Be one of those that becomes a positive person that says positive things, things that will build somebody up and not tear them down, things that will encourage and not discourage, things that will enable and not disable people. That's what we need to do. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The New Living Translation, it says, well, this is some quotations here. It says, liberty to do. That word for liberty literally means to do and this is out of the Hebrew, liberty is to do or to admit things having no relationship to salvation. To omit things that have no relationship to salvation. You know, that's true liberty in Christ. You know, and another definition from it is from the Jewish error so binding the mental vision that it does not discern the majesty of Christ. You know, we need to make sure that even the Jewish laws and the laws in the Bible, that we don't allow them by looking at them, that we have to do all of those things. What you have to do is the word that God reveals to you each day. That's what you really have to do. The only thing that he tells you to do today, that's what you got to do. You know, one of the great quotes of some of the forefathers in America was, I know you all have heard this, Patrick Henry, when he said, you know, give me liberty or give me death. And I'm going to tell you, in Christ, liberty will bring you to death. It'll bring you to death of self. Because if you submit to him and do what he tells you to do, then you're going to find that it'll cause death to self. And this is a quote from Viktor Frankl, who was in a concentration camp. He who lived in the concentration camp can remember the men who walked through the huts, conforming others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude, and in giving set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. And you know, we have a choice every day. We can choose. You know, Jesus, the Lord said to the Jews in the Old Testament, I've set before you life and death. And then he had to say to them, choose life. Now, why did he even have to say that? Because sometimes we're so stupid that he has to tell us, this is the choice. Take this one over here. Take door number two. You're trying to go to door number one. You're trying to choose death. And you know what? Like I said to you last time I spoke to you, he wants to break the covenant that we have with death and with hell, the agreement we have with that. He wants to break that covenant. And the only way he's going to break that covenant, if we quit choosing death over life. You know, one time, there was a time when some of the disciples were around Jesus, and one of them said, Lord, suffer me to go and bury my father. And you know what his reply was? Let the dead bury the dead. Come, follow me. And you know what? We have to realize that following him is the only thing that really matters. Being obedient to what his spirit speaks to us on a daily basis is the only thing that really matters. You want to move up into the higher realms of things in God? All you got to do, it's very, very simple. All you got to do is follow the leading of the Holy Spirit each and every day. And if you do that and ask the Lord every day, Lord, what would you have me do today? What would you have me say today? Where would you have me go today? You'll find that you'll be following the leading of the Holy Spirit. You'll move into the highest realms that he wants you to move into. And that same Patrick Henry that said, give me liberty or give me death, at his death in 1799, his family was not surprised when they opened his will to read it. And it said this, this is all the inheritance that I can give to my dear family. The religion of Christ will give one which will make them rich indeed. That's the only true riches in life, If you got the Son, you got life. If you've got Him, you've got all of the riches of heaven. He's promised to supply your needs. He's promised to take care of you. He's promised to be with you, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's promised to meet you when you need Him, no matter what it is. And I'm going to tell you, you know, in those situations with Betsy and with Regina and people that have those kind of situations, God's with them. He's with them tremendously. He's with them because they can go through that every day. They can walk victoriously even in the midst of physical defeat. They weren't defeated spiritually. And if you all stand, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And anybody that needs prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you. And Debbie, I'm going to ask you back there, did you need prayer today? All right. Well, why don't you come up here and let us pray for you? I feel like we should pray for you. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift and magnify you. We give you all glory. We give you all honor. And Father, I ask you to help us move into the right sort of independence by knowing that whatever comes our way, that you're working all things together for good of them that love the Lord and are thee called according to his purpose. And Father, that we've been called according to your purpose, and that no matter what happens, it's all about you, Lord. And it's all about us coming to know you in greater depths and in a fuller way, Father. And I just ask you in Jesus' name to bless your people. Help us to begin to even walk more victoriously with you by being obedient to what your Spirit would speak to us today. You said in Hebrews, today if you'll hear my voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, but labor to enter into the rest. And the labor is, I'm going to tell you the way the Lord showed it to me was the word spedozo, which is do it quickly. Do it quickly. Say, Lord, I'm going to rest in you. I'm not going to struggle with this thing. I'm giving it to you. It belongs to you. It don't belong to me no more. It belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. It all belongs to you. And I'm going to tell you what, when we do that, it will belong to him. But don't be grabbing it back by the hand and saying, well, I gave it to you, Lord, but I think I want to get a hold of it again. Because when you do that, then that victory will go away. But I'm going to tell you what, when you give him something, don't be an Indian giver. And when they say Indian giver, it wasn't the Indians that was the Indian giver. It was us folks. We gave it to him and then wanted to take it away from him. But I'm going to tell you what, let's just believe that we can move and flow in him and he's going to be glorified. Praise the Lord. Any of the brothers come up and let's pray for Debbie here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I just felt like you needed prayer today. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, we bring Debbie before you, Father. Let your anointing just flow on her right now, Father. Super abundantly, Father. She needs you. Father, you are her source. You are her supply. And Father, even the loneliness that she feels at time, Lord, fill that void. For Father, you want to be her husband. You want to be her lover. You want to be her confidant. You want to be all of those things, Father. In Jesus' name right now. In Jesus' name, Father. And I ask you to even touch her physical body, Father, and begin to bring healing there, Lord. Lord, you are the healer. You are the healer, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you for what you're doing in Debbie, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in her. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you all honor, Father. Amen, amen.
And I would say unto my daughter that everything that you've ever spoken to me, that you
praise
have
God.
Said to me that I can't, I can't, I can't, mm-hmm. I would say unto thee, that is true, you can't. But I would say unto thee, I have come that you could, and me in you can conquer all things, saith the Lord. There is nothing impossible with me, saith the Lord. Starting from your head to the sole of your feet, every cell of your body. I can speak the word of healing. I can speak that divine thing which causes every element in your life to change, saith the Lord. And I have that ability. And matter of fact, I would say unto thee, my daughter, it is that that pleases me that is stirring within you this very moment, saith the Lord.
You do not hear what how you used to hear or think how you used to think, because you have already cleared that. And I have said yes to thee, saith the Lord. I have said yes, yes, yes unto thee, my daughter. And thou knowest that thou know that thou know it is me in the midst of thee. In the areas of thy weakness, I am saying unto thee, I am becoming strong, saith the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise God. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else need prayer? We'd be glad to pray with anybody that needs prayer. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you all. Go and eat dinner and have. Don't have indigestion.